Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6 p.m. London British Summer Time. Well, this is the Friday big picture long-term audio, and it has been a momentous couple of days and rather interesting markets all in all. But just a quick overview of where the markets are at the moment, and then we'll go into what the bigger picture type of thing is. The US markets are currently down 1.08% on the Dow, just 1% on, sorry, 1% even on the S&P 500, and 1.5% on the Nasdaq. European markets are all down over 1%, barring the Swiss market, which is down just a tenth of a percent. But the FTSE is down 1%, CAC is down nearly 2%, the DAX is down over 2%. The IBEX and the S&P MIB are both down about 2.25% and 2.33% respectively. The Amsterdam Exchange is down 1.25%, and the OMX is down 1.5%. The Nikkei closed down 1.75%, and the Australian index closed down the same. So, a bit of a correction going on in here, and the dollar, which had rallied up so well yesterday, has given up quite a lot of that today, and that's pretty much on factory output news. And there's the Fed manufacturing index came out as declining, and that helped to weaken the dollar a bit, which has given a bit of a boost to some of these metals, and most of the metals are up in here today. So, where does this leave us? Last but not least would be treasuries, which have rallied. Treasuries are up 19 points at the moment at 13.04. But where does this leave us in the sort of the broader picture? Well, as anyone who has been reading the site over the last number of years would know, at this stage, we believe that we are in a secular bear market here, defined as a generational long period of PE ratio contraction and rising yields. What does this mean? It means that over time, investors will get used to paying less and receiving more for equities. So, and we could, and this of course is very much of a range of a trading environment as opposed to a buy and hold environment. What is happening at right now in the markets is really sort of white knuckle kind of stuff, but it's really the end of this predictable rally that has lasted for the last 2 years, and that's a predictable rally within the overall secular bear trend. Why is it ending right now? Well, there are a number of factors. A key among those is rising interest rates, and rising interest rates have killed off more bull markets than anything else. So that's the first factor. Second factor is that we're the second year into the presidential term, and it's at this point that that the administration has to start paying for all the money they've spent in trying to get themselves elected. So that is generally a very difficult time for equities, and it's usually a time where you would see a rally, or you would see markets coming into a little bit of difficulty. So then there is also the continuing deterioration in earnings news, where we had just yesterday we had IBM coming out with bad news, and Ericsson came out this morning with missing targets. But again, that's not particularly surprising news. Of course, there's also the inflated oil price. Oil has been coming off for over a week, and it's still over $50. And high oil is going to have an impact on equities. All of these factors contributing, and of course there is the contraction in global liquidity, which has really started to pull some of the money out of the system. And all of those things coming together have led us to where we are now, and it is looking like these equities are in a correcting phase, at least in the short to medium term. So, how far are they going to go down? The one bright spark here is that US Treasuries, which are a measure of pretty much the proxy for global liquidity, have rallied. Of course, that's also a flight to quality out of equities, But if we had seen these start to move down to make new lows, that really would be very bearish for equities. We haven't seen that. So what that's telling us is that while this is a significant sell-off on the global equity markets, it's not going to be a complete rout. This is not going to be a crash. What is more likely is that we're going to see this as a sort of a step-down type sequence. So it may fall for the next couple of days, or it may even start to firm up early next week before ranging a little bit, then coming down a bit more. This is a gradual process, and it could take a long time to play out. We're not talking weeks, talking more like months and years. As this rally lasted for over 2 years, we could see this coming off and ranging a bit and coming off a bit more and a bit of a rally, but the overall trend will almost certainly be downwards to ranging. We're not looking to look at the highs that we saw back in March at all. That's really on the very far end of the spectrum, and we're not anywhere close to that kind of scenario. So this is a bearish tendency. I mentioned last night that I thought that the European indices were a selling opportunity, and I backed that up this morning by selling some S&P MIB, and I got in relatively early, and I sold at 32,000 and 10, it's including spread bet costs. So I'm a little bit in the money there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it rallied up a bit, but I think that the overall trend is downwards, so I'm willing to stick with that. So where does that leave us then with Asia? As I mentioned already, the European markets, which have been more or less intermittently one and then another setting new highs, they've all corrected rather significantly in here today, all of them down over 1%. And that was the reason I went for a European index to short, was because they have been at elevated levels. This notion of decoupling is really the broker's dream, but is not really in the actual reality of what's going to happen. Europe, while it had been going up, it had lost a lot of momentum. And as soon as we've seen the US markets starting to correct, it's going to pull those European markets right into line. And now that we've seen the US starting to make lower lows, we could very well see the European markets make lower lows in short order. So that's what we really expect from Europe. As regards the emerging markets, they rose on the tide of global liquidity over the last 2 years, and those that rose purely on that liquidity, markets like the Middle East, markets like the Ukraine, and to an extent Pakistan, they will, and many of them already have, come back rather significantly. And it's when the fundamentals start to kick in that these will really start to look like more decent buys, because some of them were remarkably overextended. So then moving into Asia, well, the Nikkei was down nearly 200 points in here today, and it really has corrected quite a lot, and it could correct quite a bit more. When will we know that this correction is over in the Nikkei? The one good point about the Nikkei is that it's not coming down from a particularly elevated level. At no point this year has it really made historic highs. That 12,000 ceiling has been fairly difficult for it to get through. It could come back maybe another 500 or 600 points quite easily. But because it's not coming from that elevated level, there hasn't been the kind of mania or people rushing into invest in Japan in the last couple of years. So the chances are that it won't come down as much as the others. We will know when that changes, because we'll see some sort of movement on the second section, which has come down again today. It had been more or less walking the plank pretty much all of last week, and during this week, it has come below that 3600 level. And as soon as we see an upper dynamic of some substance there, and if we were really blessed, we'd see a key reversal, that would be the time to tell us that it's time to get back into Japan. Now, with Australia and New Zealand, these had been the leaders on the upside, and we've held for the last 6 or 7 months that it was when these ones broke that would be the sign that markets were heading for a correction. And that has been the case. And you can see that especially New Zealand has really come down. It was the leader on the upside and it was the first to start correcting, and it has come down quite a bit. That might be a mirror for what will happen to some of these other markets, but of course no two markets will move in exactly the same way. But it does say that we are in for a bit of a bumpy ride on the downside. So what are the markets, what are the sectors that we really think are worth a look at? And those are the resources sector. We believe that resources, that's oil and the metals, are in a long-term bull trend. And hopefully these will get banged down quite a bit so that we can get them at cheaper levels. But these are very much in line with our supply inelasticity theme. Even though markets are coming off now, there are simply not enough of commodities out there to satisfy global demand, with enormous pressure on markets from China and India, developing Asia. We have enormous demand for commodities, metals, and oil products especially, and there's no near-term solution for this imbalance. If we saw a real slowdown in Asia or a hard landing in China, which is not really on the cards at the moment, then that could take a lot of the pressure out of the demand. But at the moment, there's nothing out there that can really raise the supply very, very quickly. We're hearing a lot of news about mines just starting to invest in bringing on new mines, new resources. But this takes years. This doesn't just happen overnight. So it will be a couple of years before we see a really big increase on the supply side. So while the equity mob might well bash a lot of these down, then the stocks, that is, they will be buys on pullbacks. And when we see, especially on the moving now onto the metals, the metals have been at very elevated levels, and a lot of them were holding very, very close to those highs. Over the long term, we think that these highs are really in 10 or 15 years, we're going to look back and see the highs in metals today and think that that would have been a great time to buy. But of course, that's then and this is now. What we're looking at the moment is a fairly significant correction in the metals. They have firmed up a bit. It's not really clear yet whether they're going to continue on the way down or rally back up, and that is 100% dependent on what the dollar index is going to do. The dollar's rally over the last number of weeks is by no means over, but in the long term, we don't believe that this 3 or 4 year, no, 3.5 year downtrend in the dollar is over. While this is turning into a medium-term rally in the dollar, we don't believe that it has yet seen its lows. So when this rally ends, this will be our signal that the metal market is a place that we would be looking to invest our money. At the moment, we don't know whether that rally is over. So it even though metals might be firming up, it's presumptuous to think that they might start rallying back up again. That's by no means certainty. As regards oil, we do believe that oil is also in a long-term secular bull market, that demand is only going to increase, and the supply of cheap oil out there is diminishing, while the supply of expensive oil, like heavy oil from tar sands, is just now being brought online. But as you'll see from the comment of the day, it's cost $25 to get it out of the ground and into your car. So that means that a lot of these companies are depending on high oil prices persisting for a considerable amount of time, and we think that that is a definite possibility. The days of $12 oil are definitely over. At the moment, we're seeing oil sitting at, it came down as low as $50 on the front month. It's rallied up a little bit. There is a little bit of support at 50. I don't think that that is concrete support. It could very easily go straight through it. But at the moment, it's holding off, and that's probably on the dollar weakness just in here, just today. But that's $50 is by no means a steady support line for oil. It could go that little bit lower, could go quite a bit lower. And again, that is really all dependent on the strength of the dollar. Now moving on to the treasury markets. And the treasuries and JGBs, bunds and gilts have all rallied up today, and that's pretty much on the back of just a flight to quality out of equities. But as regards especially the treasuries, we believe that treasuries are in a long term, that they're coming to the end of a long term bull market. That our working hypothesis is that we are entering a new inflationary cycle. Anyone who pays the household bills will definitely be in agreement with that. We would really say that the only way to play this would be on the downside, because the potential upside is not that much in reality. It does look like a very big type 3 that's ranging time and size top from the chart seminar. That means that it's very difficult to trade. But we don't believe that there'll be any dramatic moves on the downside, that this is something that will gradually start to move down as yields rise. Because and we the reason we believe that is that eventually the US will have to raise rates to control the current account deficit. We will see, as inflation becomes part of the public consciousness, then the Fed will have to start tackling it. They'll have to raise rates, yields will rise. We'll see this long-term bull in government bonds ending. Anyone who thinks that it's zombie buyers in Japan and fund managers desperate for yield that are going to permanently hold up the bond market are in dreamland. When, if we do see any kind of, excuse me, there have been a lot of people talking about the correlation between the government bond yields in the US and the Japanese market. It's a very, very interesting chart. If we see Japan breaking out of that 12,000 level sometime over the next couple of years, and it could well take that long, just like this ranging bottom on the treasuries is a ranging bottom, and ranging time and size, time being the number one factor, it could take a very long time. It could take 6 to 10 months, it could take a year, it could take 2 years for this treasury bond to start to really bottom out. Sorry, excuse me, to top out, yields to bottom out. So, with that in mind, if we see Japan starting to move up, and it does appear that it's Japanese retail buyers that have long positions in treasuries, they start to get better yields at home than they do from treasuries. And as prices move up, yields are only going to come down. If the yield at the moment is about 4%, if we see moves upwards, that's going to keep keep falling. And all we need to see is a little bit of outperformance on the Japanese market, and we could see yields rising there on the equities. So that's a correlation to keep an eye on. At the moment, we're seeing money flowing into treasuries. There was a failed breakout at the bottom about 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it wouldn't be surprising for it. A rule of thumb from the chart seminar is that if there's a failed breakout, it'll go back and test the top of the range, and it could well do that. Top of the range is about 114. It's only about a point away, so not beyond the bounds possibility at all. Excuse me. Just another word just about the currency markets. While we talk about generational trends in the stock markets and in the commodity markets, and indeed the bond markets, you've had that uptrend for 20 years in the bond markets. Equities have been doing really very well for a long time, but you don't get those generational long trends in the currencies. No country wants a permanently strong currency. And there's a lot of evidence out there that the US doesn't really want a strong currency either. And you'll also see that, I think it was back in the 80s when the Swiss currency got very strong, they just printed money and kept interest rates low, and that eventually pulled the Swiss franc down. Because the US doesn't want a strong currency, and because there has been an enormous flood of liquidity over indeed the last 10 years. Paul Volcker in 81 pretty much embarked on a mission of killing off inflation and raised interest rates to astronomical levels, and that really was the bottom of the market as regards treasuries. If anyone had bought treasuries at that time, they would have been getting 14% yields for 20 to 30 years, which would have looked good in anybody's pension plan. But because after the Asian financial crisis, long-term capital management, the Russian debt default, Y2K, 9/11, all of these scenarios, and indeed the equity falls, there's been an excuse for the Fed to print money and to increase liquidity. Well, liquidity is coming. They've pretty much skimmed the cream off the top. There hasn't been any kind of crunch in liquidity, but they have started to squeeze it, and that is choking off some of the equities. But what it's also doing at the moment is that the Fed are rearming the interest rate weapon. And what, excuse me, my phone was ringing. I'm just going to try and turn that off. Well, what they're doing is rearming the interest rate weapon. They're rising interest rates as much as they can without completely torpedoing the economy. As soon as there's a deal of, as soon as the markets really start to get jittery, they'll turn that tap back on. We might see lower interest rates. That's not going to happen anytime soon, but it's something to be aware of. They're only raising interest rates so that they can lower them again in the future. So they're rearming that interest rate weapon. Now, just one last word, and that's about the just going back to the commodities. So metals, industrial metals, we think they're definitely demand driven. They're in a secular bull trend. So is energy, again, demand driven. Precious metals, though, are entirely a dollar play. And they're all and a dollar play because of the correlation. There's a very strong correlation between gold and the dollar because of the inflation issue. If we're correct in our assumption that we're in a new inflationary cycle, that means that gold will go up. And while there is today a very strong correlation as inflation enters the public psyche, that correlation is going to loosen, and we'll see gold start to move up out of line with what the dollar is doing. Again, it's not happening at the moment, but it is something that we think is going to start happening. The same with silver, which we regard as high beta gold. Then with soft commodities, those were soft commodities. While they have had a good run since sort of January, they're pretty much the only asset class that wasn't pumped up on the global liquidity. And a lot of them are really very cheap at the moment, with wheat, corn, and soybeans. Wheat and corn, particularly, though, they've come back quite a lot recently and they're looking quite cheap. Over the long term, we think that just like all the other commodities, they are in a long-term bull trend. While the others have already started their trends, these soft commodities are still really very much within the base or just the first step above the base and are pretty much the only asset class out there that are cheap. So the grains are pretty much the only cheap asset, followed by some of the others. For example, coffee has done really rather well. It's coming back a bit recently and would be entering a buy range pretty soon. Not quite there yet though. So, with all that in mind, I'm just a quick update on David's medical condition, the VAC pack, which it turns out, for anyone who's squeamish, I suggest you turn off now. But what it does is it's more or less a vacuum cleaner, and it sucks out all the infection from the wound, and that has brought down swelling. It needs to be on there for 5 days. It's been on there for two so far, so that is good news because it's really doing what it's supposed to do. He's hoping to be out by Tuesday, but again, that's fingers crossed, and we'll see what happens. But thank you very much for listening, and he would like to thank you all for your well wishes. They have really brightened his mood, and it's been very heartwarming, some of them. So thank you for your time, and have a great weekend.